You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Salty Nerd Podcast. We are covering Warrior Season 2, Episodes 1 and 2. Welcome to the show. It's horrible. I'm joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds. Matt Vader's here. What's up, dude?
That was the best intro you've ever
done.
You
even had time to think about it.
So bad. Sorry. I apologize in advance. Now a little rusty.
I'm trying to come up with some snark about these shows.
It's so good.
It's
though.
Hard. It's so hard good. To do. It's like there's no satellite dishes covering battleship holes.
Listen, I'm very disappointed in Big Dick Lee this season.
He is. He's kind of
he's disappointing me.
His dick's shrinking a little bit.
he's shrinkage?
He's got shrinkage.
Oh no.
Big shrinkage Lee.
He is dealing with some shit.
There it is.
There it is.
Big shrinkage.
You found
Lee.
Your thing. Yeah, there's your grift. Go
his,
for
his
it.
His dick's a little bit smaller now. Because he's putting that fucking laudanum up in there. Oh, I like drugs.
He's emo moody, Big Dick Lee. It's Little Dick Lee.
Little Dick Lee.
Is he Little Dick Lee this season?
Don't
Dick,
you dare.
He's Little Dick Lee. Absolutely. No. Till he gets it back.
Okay.
He's Little Dick Lee now. Absolutely.
Jude is also here.
Hello.
Welcome, Jude. And Matthew Kadish is also producing the show today. What's going on, man?
Yeah, so I'm excited to talk about season two. I'm really enjoying season two so far, but the premiere episode was directed by none other than Jonathan Tropper himself.
Nice.
So. Nice.
Couldn't get everybody else to do it?
Guess not. But I love the opening scene of the season two premiere because if you guys remember one of the best lines from Hoon Lee last season, the character Chow, he's mm-hmm. like, there's only two paths for a warrior. You either get dead or you get better. And we're seeing Assam get better.
Yeah. Right?
Like he's taking all challengers at a fight club. And he's basically just...
Bro, know. It's an old pirate ship. How yeah. freaking cool is that? And that was another thing I wanted to talk about was... we'll get into it after Juice Synopsis, but like the production value, I feel like, went up in season two. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot more extras. It feels like more like Tortuga, you know? Mm-hmm. They're out like wandering around in Pirate Village and stuff like that.
I really
that.
Don't like Penny's eyebrows.
No, Penny's eyebrows need some work, for sure. Penny's weird this season.
Yeah.
I'm not digging Penny this season.
I think she's got that's the mayor's wife, right?
Yeah.
She's got a bit of a mustache thing going on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, he's starting to just say weird shit.
Like, he's trying to find out what sticks. Like, oh, Little Dick Lee. Now we're doing mustache twirling Penny. Shut up.
Well, when she gets on screen, you'll see it. She's like that one weird commercial out there with the mustache girl. In high school, so you got a little thing going on.
Stop.
Yes.
Synopsis, please.
All right.
Episode 1.
Season 2, Episode 1. Learn to endure or hire a bodyguard. After nearly dying in the tournament against Lee Young, Assam has taken to honing his survival skills in the fighting rings. Penny has taken on the care of her sisters. She sent one to boarding school and moved the other in with she and Samuel. Mai Ling's throwing her weight around Chinatown, kissing babies and sending old ladies to the doctor. Young Jun is losing his mind over the Hopway's loss of control in Chinatown. He uncovers the Long Z are using local molasses and decides to fight drug dealing with drug dealing. Bill has a come-to-Jesus moment when he tries to quit his side hustle for the Fung Hai, only to find out his employment is not optional. A toy unleashes her protege on a lynch mob, and it's a real body party. The next morning, Big Dick Lee fingers through the severed parts and reenacts the crime scene, alerting the chief that they no longer have a lone swordsman killing men. Now they have three.
No,
discuss.
All three of them. It's Little Dick Lee.
Little Dick Lee.
Not in my world.
I was really disappointed in him. Okay, so first of all, Penny and her little sister. Okay, so.
Sophie.
Sophie, thank you.
She's trouble.
Sure.
She's so much
trouble. She is so much of a troublemaker. I don't know what else I was going to say.
I really hate her character.
You
yeah.
do?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I think she's so fun. Like, I feel like the mischief that Penny was getting into in the first season, she's like straight-laced businesswoman now, and all the trouble like has like fallen to her sister. And she's just like the wild card. You don't know what she's going to do.
I mean, they just introduce her in this episode. And I immediately went,
Really?
She's going to be a problem.
Oh, you mean, okay. So are you with Katie, like you don't like her? Or do you think she's
no,
just
I do
like
her.
Okay,
but right. I immediately know she's going to be a little turd.
The only reason that I like the Sophie storyline is because we get some insight into Dennis Leary, basically. Or, you know.
Dylan
Leary.
Dylan Leary, but based off of a Dennis in real history.
Yeah, exactly. When we're introduced to Sophie in this episode, she's taking flowers to her father's grave, and we see Leary at the cemetery, and he's visiting his family. And we actually get some backstory on Leary for a change, where basically his entire family died of smallpox after, you know, leaving Ireland and moving here to California. And he's like, they'd be young men now, you know, and it's kind of like tragic in a way. And I feel like this season we're really getting some different layers to Leary.
And
so that makes him easy to hate him for what he does, but like everything that he says humanizes him so much.
Yeah, I'm with Kadesh on this. This first opening scene and like the couple episodes following this, like we really get an inside look into his motivations and who he is and where he's coming from. And there's a softer side of him. And I like seeing that. I think he's a really awesome character. He's a lot of fun to watch. I like his brutality, but now that I know where that stems from, it's pretty. Well, see, I'm enjoying it a lot.
That's the thing about this show is that it's one of those shows where every character is kind of a crap head.
Oh, they're terrible.
they all have these really weird dark sides to them. Mm-hmm. They do bad things. They murder people. They slice people up with swords. But they all have their motivations for him, and we're okay with that.
It's survival of the fittest.
It's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead and murder those people and blow those buildings up and chop those people into little pieces. It's fine.
Oh, we understand your motivations.
It's okay. Your motivations are okay. they're good. They're righteous.
But come on. That's kind of a trait for Tropper created series. Yeah. Like if you guys ever watched Banshee, everyone in that show is also a shithead, you know. But like you come to like them and root for them and stuff like that.
I'm like hardcore team Chow this season so far.
Oh, Chow's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did he do something different with his facial hair? Because I feel like he has like a real aggressive like goatee thing going on.
No,
in
maybe
season.
he trimmed his.
I feel like he did something to it. He looks freaking good. Like I don't know. He put some like Just for Men in there or something. Maybe. It's like dark, pointy. That's good. I'm team Chow. Do we get a little bit of him in this episode? Is that coming up soon?
It's coming up in the next episode.
We get some good backstory to Chow, there's a lot of like political maneuvering going on with Chow as well.
The fungi. Oh, that's the other thing I want to talk about. The fungi are trouble.
Yeah.
Trouble.
And I feel like
they're not so much fun.
A lot less fun. But they've got their freaking greedy little claws around
Myling.
Bill and
Myling. Oh yeah.
But everybody, they've got ins and outs with everybody.
They have become the new power.
Yeah. You know what's great about this episode is like so we're reestablished with all like the main characters, right? Mm-hmm. And so it starts off with Assam in this Barbary Coast fighting pit, taking on all comers, and he's basically like trying to like hone his skills because, you know, like he's never suffered such a defeat as he had got from Leong in the last season. But when we're reestablished with Bill, like he's full on, like, you know, I'm a collector for the fun guys.
He's chasing people down, beating them up.
I was really disappointed in that.
I think he's disappointed in himself. Yeah. Like, he hates doing it, but he just has to.
Which is why he keeps showering his wife with all of these things to make himself feel better about what he's doing.
But also, he's never made this much money before. He works his butt off as a cop for the city, and he gets pennies. Barely feeds his family. She's like, steak? You bought steak today? Again? Like, he's making money doing this. And that's how they're keeping him, like, reeled in. They're like, no, you work for us now. And he's like, and when that guy hands him the cash, it's like a wad of cash. And he's like, well, how am I supposed to refuse that? I got 17 kids at home. Right. I got to feed them. Yeah. All right, I guess I'm still working here.
If you put another baby in me, I'll kill you.
That was great. Holy crap, Jude. Up your game on the Irish accent.
I'm a voice actor.
Good job.
I'm a voice actress.
So while Awesome is fighting in the Barbary Coast, which is kind of like the red light district of San Francisco during this time.
It's Tortuga.
It was named after like the North African Barbary Coast, which is where all the pirates hung out and stuff that. But this was basically like a lawless part of San Francisco during this time period. And you know, you go down there, there was like, it was unpoliceable. There was like crime everywhere. It was like really rough and tumble area of town. So after Awesome, like we're introduced to a new character named Miss Vega, who kind of runs the fighting pit.
Trouble.
She's like a Hispanic pirate lass type
she's
thing.
So smoking she's hot. Hispanic?
Yeah,
Hispanic
yeah.
pirate lass. I mean,
she's brunette with brown eyes. Yeah. She's
well, if you notice, she speaks Spanish to Chow when he comes in the next episode. Oh. But yeah, she's very much Hispanic, which is one of the reasons why she's not welcome in polite society, and she has to hang out in the Barbary Coast.
She does look like a pirate.
Yeah. So Awesome, like to recoup from his battles, goes to Otoy's opium den, and we find out that it's been 5 months since the previous season. And during that time, they've formed a little vigilante squad to take on people who have been, harming the Chinese.
I love it.
And while Awesome was fighting in the opening scene of this episode, he clocked a group called the Teddy Boys, who are a local gang that basically, in order to get into the gang, you have to, like, scalp a Chinaman and take his gi off.
Terrible.
Yeah, and so they're like, "Oh, we have a new target."
So he's like out there just scouting around for Batman and Robin to go out and just like savagely murder a bunch of people.
And Otoy's like, "Maybe we should slow down because we've been killing a lot lately." And Awesome just like, "Nah, man."
Nah,
like, he's like, "I need a reason to be."
Well, he's like, "If you don't want to come, I'm going to go anyway." And she's like, "Fine, I'll go with you." And then she's got her apprentice.
I love her little protege girl.
Yeah,
has she spoken?
Lie.
I don't think she said a word.
I don't think so.
She's not really in this show.
Not much. Every once in a while, only she's in the background, like cleaning something. Somebody. Yeah, and then when she's like, and then Otoy's like, "Hey, we got a job."
We see more
to
of her towards the end of the season.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So like basically the trio team up and they go take on this gang of Teddy Boys, and just slaughter all of them, like just brutally murder. And then the Chinatown squad comes in, and they're just like, "God damn it." and then we got Shrinkage Lee walking around, actually doing crime scene investigation.
Little Dick Lee.
Oh,
I'm so disappointed.
But Little Dick Lee is very upset because after his assault by the fun guys, he now has, like, headaches, and he's kind of become dependent on
drugs. He's all fucked up.
Okay, yeah. I was going to ask, it's like, why is he all of a sudden a crackhead?
He was in a coma for, like, a month.
Right, yeah. And I just remembered I was in season one, right?
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, yeah.
He got the absolute shit kicked out of him in season one, and he was out for a long time. And then when he wakes up, he's starting to get addicted to the pain medication slash opiate.
And like the doctors in this age, they're just like, rub some dirt on it. And that's
pretty much
that's how they heal you.
Well, also the problem is that the laudanum isn't helping. Like he's having trouble sleeping. His headaches like don't go away even with the laudanum. And the doctors say like there's just not a lot we know about the brain right now. And so he's basically suffering, and he kind of snaps at the police chief.
"You're the one who's been telling me all this time that we were looking for one man.
And now I'm the one who's telling you we're not.
Stupid son of a bitch."
It's like Alex at work,
Yes. "No, we can't run." I can't say that. There's some weird things.
Yeah, I'm
let's talk about Penny's eyebrows. Close up on her eyebrows.
Here's the fat cam. Where's the fat cam?
Here's the mustache. Look.
No, there's no mustache.
Mustache.
You're so full of shit.
No, I'm not.
It's just a shadow.
Okay, well, it's a weird mustache shadow.
It's not. It's her.
It's her skin.
It's her skin, bro. You're nuts.
It looks like a Hitler stash.
It does not. You're just feeding me
nonsense.
I do
not see this.
No, it's just the shadow.
She's adorable.
I'm gonna get a text or a tweet.
Like somehow, like I was into Penny in the first season. She had like this cute girl next door thing. This, she looks like an old stiff lady in this.
So they're bleaching her eyebrows this season, and it makes her look alien.
Yeah, it's not good. Not a good look. Not a good look. But she, like, just the character wise.
Maybe they had to ugly her up a little bit
to make her sister
look hot. She is a proper businesswoman now.
It's too much. I like the loose, like, let's go to the fuck
she's
palace.
She's all tight necked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And her sister's all like, I mean, booze them out.
In like,
the bosom.
Booze them.
It's like, she looks like if she had gray hair and a cross, she would probably smack your hand with a ruler.
There was. You saw it. I was laughing at what he said.
You did.
Like, she needs to start like shouting at you for not reading your Bible every day. It's awful. It's awful. I don't like this.
Got that gross 1800 school teacher thing going on.
Yes. Like, and her sister looks like she's about to have some fun.
Yeah.
And I want to go hang out with her sister now.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I think they, I think they're doing that to show that there's a significant age difference between Sophie and Penny, because Penny has to take care of her now as though she's her mother.
Yeah, but there was only, what, 5 months between season one and season two? Like, from season one, she looks more like her sister. Her hair's down. She's having some fun. She has a fuck palace, whatever. But do we even get to see the fuck palace in this season?
No, she gave up the fuck palace for the steel factory.
Freaking
remember?
Forget about it. I'm out.
You Penny. Notice
it's
that
a
there's,
fuck factory there's, now. There's
the fuck factory? I like it. I like it.
I don't feel like the sex scenes are as raunchy in season two so far.
No, like, I don't. Which,
there haven't been a lot of sex scenes.
No, there hasn't been a lot. There's a little bit of skin.
There's Bill banging his wife, yeah. And then there's
yeah, but
there's
that was,
Larry
that was
and
under the covers. That
can you say,
covers.
Can you say that one more time for me in his wife's voice?
If you put another baby in me, I'd kill you.
I love it. I love it.
If you put another baby in me, I'd kill you.
All right. There's
also a great line in that scene where she's like, "It's nice not to have to be the one to do all the work."
Yeah. And I love how Bill just laughs it off, like they're having like this like, nice little marriage
like,
joke.
The last time you made love to me like that, you gave me twins.
I gotta see if I can. Nope, can't do that to my wife. I'll have another baby. Nope. God dang it! Teach Ashley how to talk with us.
She's like, "You're
Irish
gonna
accent.
Wake up the children," and he's like, "Fuck them."
I love it. Their marriage in this first episode, like, they're happy.
I love them.
Yeah, they're doing
good.
It goes
downhill fast.
Real fast. Yeah.
But Mai Ling is kind of the new queen of Chinatown. She just walks around like she owns the place. And Young Jun is not happy about it.
Uh-huh. Young Jun.
I really enjoyed about this first season, and all four episodes I've seen of season two so far, is that Mai Ling keeps doing this weird shit. Mm-hmm. She keeps mouthing off, and she keeps, you know, I'm not quite sure where they're going with this, but every single time she does something weird, Li Yong is standing there next to her.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he gets this look on her face like, "What are you doing, you crazy bitch?"
Yeah.
You know, and it's like they're setting something up, you know, and it's going to be really, I'm really fascinated where this goes. Because
I actually bothered to watch like the behind the scenes stuff at the end of the episodes.
Oh, I did notice they had those on HBO.
Yeah. Like HBO Max, like if you don't exit out of it, they'll just switch the next episode. So like you miss this stuff. But they were talking about how the leader of the Fun Guys, Zing. Otherwise known as Genghis Cunt.
He's lying.
Oh, fuck you, Genghis Cunt.
They did this. That was a good one.
So Li Yong sees Zing's influence on Mai Ling, where basically like Mai Ling is exposed to like how ruthless he is and how he's kind of like risen up to the ranks and grabbed power. And so she's starting to emulate certain things that like he embodies.
She's using his catchphrases.
Yeah,
it's awful.
And so like that's one of the reasons why Li Yong is trying to take Zing down. So. The funnest guy is the biggest threat.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I do think it's interesting. I don't know if it's in this episode. It might be in the next one. We might wait. But she explains herself because Li Yong like confronts her about her attitude and like what she's doing. And she's like, We have a plan, I have a plan. We have to like diversify essentially, because eventually these Tongs are gonna get stomped on by the government and we need to have other legitimate businesses set up.
Yeah.
So I feel like even though she is acting way different now that she's in power and Li Yong is not really into it.
She's got like tunnel vision for the end of the road.
Well, yeah,
she's also playing the Game of Thrones.
I feel like she's doing it better than he would. Mm-hmm. I feel like if he was in charge, things would be like, "Oh, this is tradition, this is how we do it."
Yeah.
And he would end up being passed up.
Yeah.
And then now she's thinking of the future. I think she's a better leader.
I mean, there's a great line where Li Long talks about how, like, Long Z, like, valued loyalty and stuff like that. And Mai Ling just looks at him and she's like, "Yeah, and how'd that work out for
right?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like she's on top of the game. She's got it.
I just think Li Long is, for some reason, Li Long is becoming, I think, my favorite character.
Really?
One of my favorite characters.
He's
in
cool.
Show. He's very Bruce Lee.
He's got the
look and the
hair.
I 100% agree with you. I think that's why I like him. If Bruce Lee was alive when they made the show, I think he would be playing.
He'd be Li Yong?
Li Yong.
Maybe.
No, he'd be awesome.
No, I think he'd be Li Yong.
He's very stoic.
And I hope maybe Li Yong deserves a spinoff. Yeah. I really think he does.
So, just wandering the earth.
Wandering there. Li Yong.
So after the police chief gets on Bill and Lee's case about, like, you know, finding the swordsman, because it's been 5 months, white people are still, you know, being targeted and murdered by this person. They're like, okay, the only person that we have that could possibly give us a lead is Chow.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go and they raid Chow's stash. They take all of his merchandise And Chow is pissed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But he still doesn't give it up. But then
he's very subdued about his pissed offness.
Yes. I don't remember if it's this episode or the next one when he tells a toy, don't underestimate how much I'm willing to suffer for you.
It's this episode. Oh, okay. Yeah. So like he goes to Autoy's.
Or don't overestimate or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. He goes to Autoy's, you know,
brothel
to basically tell her, it's like, look, your exploits are starting to fuck with my business. And there's only so much I will take before, mm-hmm. like, I cut you loose.
Don't overestimate how much I'll suffer to keep your secret.
And so Autoy agrees basically to cut back on the vigilante justice mm-hmm. for Chow's sake.
I won't murder as much.
Yeah, because they keep, like, tracing the weapons back to him, right? You're the only one who sells weapons around here, bro. Well, you have to know.
He's like, I don't do swords.
Yeah. they're looking for swords. And I don't do swords. Yeah.
Is this the episode where we get the Chow backstory, or is that episode two?
That's episode two.
Okay, well, wait. I'll wait for that, then.
Yeah. You ready to get there?
Are we about done
almost.
With this? Yeah, go ahead.
We haven't talked about Asam and Young Jun's little business venture yet.
Oh, tell me about that.
Well, Young Jun is basically upset that his father has been allowing the Longzi in mm-hmm. on their molasses trade or opium trade. And so basically they decide hey, if we were to get opium like the Longzi do, because Longzi have a local connection, mm-hmm. if we were to get it locally, we could get it cheaper than shipping it in from China like Father Jun does. Mm-hmm. And then we could make up the shortfall of what we lost in the opium trade to the Longzi. And that will show our, you know, Father Jun that
we're smart businessmen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We can be in the
innerfold. And this is how Pirate Lady comes in.
Venga.
Yeah.
But we also had a lot of stuff with Leary this episode. So basically there's a great scene where, in season one, Leary was for the working man.
Yeah.
And then we see a scene where he goes to the working men whom he got jobs, and he's like, okay, it's time to pay your dues.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like,
the
we just Union went back dues. To work. And he's like, yeah, and you're sitting here drinking. Mm-hmm. I know you have money.
Yeah.
Pay up. Yeah. Oh, he's so tough.
Yeah, yeah. He's basically the Teamster.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, he's the union rep.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. We talked about that in the last finale. He's Jimmy Hoffa.
But then we see what he's using those dues for, which is to buy dynamite.
Yeah.
And at the end of the episode, he bombs one of the factories that had been hiring Chinese labor as opposed to Irish labor.
Leary and fire. I think Tropper has a love affair with having gleams of fire in this guy's eyes, because every time there's an explosion, they always cut to his a close-up of his face.
Right,
he's sitting there with a light on his match and is smoking a cigarette, and he's just fire gleaming, and he's like, ah, yes.
But in addition to bombing these factories, he's also got his goons out there, so they're intercepting, the transport of the workforce to basically beat up the Chinese laborers mm-hmm. who are coming to Mercer Steel and all these other places. And the local businesses are just getting fucked over by the Irish because they're using these strong arm tactics.
There's a great scene, I think it might be later, episode 3 or 4, I have to talk about, but it's between him and Awesome when they're at the standoff.
Yeah, that's episode 4.
4? Okay, we'll get there. All right.
Move to episode 2?
Yeah, we're on to episode 2. Jude.
All right.
Take it away.
Season 2, episode 2, The Chinese Connection. Bill's burning the candle at both ends of Chinatown, patrolling the streets for the police and running down debts for his boss, Zing. Penny rallies the other business owners to hold Mayor Humdinger responsible for the attacks by Leary. She asks Asam to work as a guard for her company, and he tells her to fuck off until he needs a place to store his molasses. Buckley's had it with all this damn peace. He wants two things, redheaded prostitutes and the war Mai Ling promised him. Big Dick Lee drops some dick and some money in a tavern and wakes up pissed on and broke. Sophie sees Leary during a political rally and follows him into the banshee and into his heart. Mai Ling sends Lee and Zing to go talk some sense into a young Tong caught selling opium, and Zing starts roadhouse throat-ripping people, forcing Li Yong to take part in the annihilation of the young Tong. And some rich white lady keeps adopting all the baby prostitutes. Discuss.
First of all, was Paw Patrol?
Yes. He looks exactly Mayor Humdinger.
Yeah, the mayor of San Francisco in this show looks just like Mayor Humdinger from Paw Patrol.
Oh my God.
Where are my kitties?
Yep. Man, do we have kids or what? Freaking Paw Patrol. He does look just like Mayor
Spot
Humdinger.
Spot on.
It's exactly
to the point where I wondered if Tropper did that on purpose.
What came out first, Paw Patrol or?
Paw Patrol.
I hope he did. All right. Okay. Just because I don't want to forget about it, and it's very important, we have to discuss it for at least 10 minutes.
Okay.
10 minutes?
What's
Start the
What's
timer.
With Buckley and the redheads?
What's happening right now?
So in the previous episode, Buckley picked up a redheaded prostitute.
Uh-huh.
And in this episode, he gets another one, and we see what he does with them, which is basically he, like, washes their hair. That's it.
But does he, though? Do they ever get back? Do they ever go back?
I don't know, man.
He's wearing rubber gloves. Where does he get the rubber gloves from?
Is he wearing a diaper?
I didn't even
while
know they had
this?
Rubber gloves in 1876. What?
Does he wear a diaper while he does this?
There's something.
I mean, if you're gonna be weird, you might as well be weird, right?
After the hair washing scene, the camera pans away, and we just hear splashing. Like he's holding her under.
Yeah. Is he a psycho killer?
I think
for redheads,
maybe.
Why does he hate gingers?
Maybe he has them peg him after. I don't know.
I'm worried that what we're gonna do is like he's gonna have a closet full of like red wigs, and they're not gonna be real. Cool. They're gonna be like a bunch of red hair.
I mean, we're supposed to.
I'll need my scalps.
Yeah, like a scalp thing. I mean, I don't like Buckley. I'm not saying that I like Buckley.
Man,
but
I hate Buckley. Buckley's such a creep.
Yeah, he's super creepy.
But nobody likes Buckley.
We get a little bit more like insight into like Buckley's motivation these last two episodes, because basically he's really pushing for the Exclusion Act, mm-hmm. which is a bill that's before Congress that that his kind of like partner in crime, like the state senator mm-hmm. Who wants to run for U.S. Senate.
Send them back.
Like he's really pushing to get that. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to orchestrate enough like chaos and violence in Chinatown to convince the voters that we need to push for this act in order to get the state senator elected, and then like he's going to ride his coattails to Washington, and so mm-hmm. that's his motivation for teaming up with Mai Ling. And he even tells Mai Ling, he's like, look, you know, it's been too peaceful in Chinatown. Mm-hmm. Like I can't
sleep with all this damn peace.
He's like, I need you guys to start up that war again.
He's so maniacal. Like yes. Every time there's a scene like where there's like political people and the mayor's talking to somebody, like Buckley's like in the background, just like hovering over them on like a staircase somewhere or something. He's so maniacal.
He's playing, Peter Baelishing them.
And the mayor is just like complete, like he knows that Buckley's like maneuvering behind his back.
He doesn't know how to get out of it. He's just powerless to stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has no idea how to outsmart Buckley. He's mm-hmm. just like, well, shoot, he's kind of right. Like,
give me more kitties.
Dang it. Let me go. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, he's a
those
weirdo.
Darn pups.
Why are all the white dudes freaks, man? All a bunch of weirdos. Buckley's got a thing now. The mayor's banging weirdos in the background.
No, the mayor's getting banged.
He's getting banged by giant, giant dildos. Remember that? Like jade dildos, like this big. It was curved.
But Mai Ling, so like after her confrontation with Buckley, she's like, I need some leverage on this guy. And so she hires like a mm-hmm. former Pinkerton who's like a fuck up to like start looking into him.
When she walks into that like
white person.
White person club. and she's got her hood on. It was like a country club or something.
Some kind of a club. And Mai Ling walks in just like she owns the place.
She looked like as soon as she like took her hood off, she was going to burst into flames and have like a
Asian
prophecy.
Mystic.
Yes.
It was cool. I like, they were all just looking at her like, what the heck? And she didn't give a crap. She's like, I'm going to walk through mm-hmm. here. I want more Pinkerton stuff. I feel like that's like a big name, Pinkerton. Like they're in like Red Dead Redemption, a bunch of video games that I play. Pinkertons are a big name back then. I would love to see them like really hammer down on something.
You need a Pinkerton
a
show?
No, I mean, just have them included in this.
The pink of fucky tons.
The Pinkertons.
That was a mouthful.
Law of the West, the Pinkertons.
Yeah. Like, I'm down. I want some. Yeah, give me some Pinkerton action. That'd be cool. Okay. It'd be cool to have in season 3 or something. But anyway,
By order of the Pinkertons.
What else are we talking about?
All right. So we got the business leaders meeting with the mayor who are not happy about the Irish strong arm tactics. Like, they've gotten their factories bombed. Penelope shows up,
mm-hmm.
and the mayor's like, honey, this is a closed door session. She's like, this is an emergency meeting of business owners, and I'm a business owner.
Oh, she has such attitude when she says that. Yeah, I mean, well deserved. Gonna go for it, but
but basically she's
really feeling her new power.
Oh yeah. Button another thing up your neck.
So she takes the lead on like what's the city gonna do to protect these local businesses that are using Chinese labor. From the Irish. And this, in turn, because the government's not going to do anything, and that's mostly because Buckley wants this type of, like, you know, conflict, this leads her to seek out Awesome and ask for his help in providing security, because her current security all quit because mm-hmm. they don't want to be going up against the Irish.
Mm-hmm.
So in this one, basically, like, Awesome shows up, and Penelope lays out for him, okay, I need security to protect, you know, my Chinese laborers.
And he's like, fuck off.
Well, yeah.
Hire the Irish and be done with it.
What, Leary and his thugs just win?
You called me a criminal.
And so, like, it's his hurt pride that, yeah. that makes him reject her. And so he basically leaves by saying, like, okay, I'm not going to work for you. And Penelope's now scrambling to, like, figure out, okay, how am I going to do
protect
business?
Protect my people, yeah.
Exactly. And but that leads into, like, the storyline that Awesome and Young June have, which is they're trying to start up their own opium trade to compete with the Long Z. And
they go meet Happy Jack.
Yeah, Vega basically introduces him to the Barbary Coast opium dealer, Happy Jack, mm-hmm. who isn't very happy. And
when they introduce him, I was like, please don't hurt me.
Yeah, she confused him with Simple Jack.
I wasn't confused.
Yeah. Simple Jack is ours now.
Never go full retard.
Oh, no. Shout out to Tropic Thunder. Tropic Thunder? Yeah, Tropic Thunder.
Tropper Thunder.
Tropper Thunder!
You're doing this on purpose. Fucking liar.
He knows.
Yeah, but so basically Vega leads them to their local connect, and they try to negotiate not only purchasing the opium, but also having him store it for them so they have a place that they can like go and pick it up and distribute it. And Happy Jack is like, I am not in the opium storage business. I import it, I cut it up, I distribute it, I sell it. I don't store it. And so they offer him a markup in order to store it.
It was like $50 extra per barrel or something,
something like that.
Yeah.
And so he's like, okay, I'll store it for you. But you know he's not going to store it.
No.
So they come back later to pick up, you know, pick up their opium and leave the last bit of the payment. And basically they're tapping out at this. Like if they lose this money, they're screwed. Like, they don't have any more money.
Whose money is he spending? Is he spending it, like, his Father money
June's.
Or his father's money?
Because he's in charge of ordering the opium, and he's just taking that money
okay.
and doing it locally
yeah.
instead of
dad,
sending it to China.
His dad's in communication with China, and he's like, they're worried.
We don't know this, though.
Is not yet? Is that episode three?
That's episode three.
Oh, okay. So it's all a blur. I watched all four of them at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically, they show up at Happy Jack's place to drop off the last part of the payment. And Happy Jack's goons tell him, it's like we're not storing it for you. You know, mm-hmm. sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
And then, like, Awesome and Young June respond how they normally respond, which is by, like, murdering everyone.
Yeah.
And Happy Jack shows up and with a shotgun, basically, mm-hmm. and basically says, like, look, you know, you can either lose all your money and not get the opium, or you can just take the opium that you paid for and find some other place to store it. And so, like, now they're in a situation where, like, okay, now we have to find a place to store it, which leads Awesome back to Penelope, where he basically agrees to do her security work because he knows that there's a place at the Mercer Steel Factory where he can store all the opium on the down low, and the Hopway will be there to protect it.
I can offer you protection. But...
And in addition to this, so, like, we got Little Dick Lee doing actual police work where he, well, as soon as Bill
better
comes
put
in.
Some respect on that name.
As soon as Bill comes in the morning, he points out that he's noticed a pattern where basically all the white people who've been murdered by this mysterious swordsman have been, you know, like, have committed violence against Chinese, except for the two businessmen who washed up on the shore. Uh-huh. And he's been looking into those guys' business dealings and found a very suspicious land purchase. And he keeps bugging Bill about this, and Bill's like, okay, fine, we'll go check this out. And of course, it is Mr. Patterson, who's
Atoy's business partner.
Apotec partner.
Yeah.
Atoy's business partner. And they go visit him.
Mm-hmm. He's a terrible poker face.
And both Bill and Lee.
This guy's been shitting his pants for the last 5 months anyway.
Like, oh, my God. Yeah. My business partner just murdered two people.
Yeah, and both Bill and Lee instantly know that every single answer this guy gives them is complete bullshit.
They're like, so why did you pay three times the price for your land as everybody else around you? And he's like, It's good value.
Good investment. Value,
yeah, you
business.
Know. Just taking a risk.
Yeah, and so
rabble.
And Bill actually says, like, after they kind of like know that there's something fishy with this guy, he's like,
every so often, it's good to actually do a little police work.
Yeah. He's like, I haven't done that in so long.
He's like, I'm too busy beating people up for money.
Yeah.
But Little Dick Lee is basically, because of his headaches, like, and he can't sleep, so he's been throwing himself into his work. And while he's working, Bill is out collecting for the fun guys. But what happens in this episode is basically, you know, Lee's trying to sleep. He's out of laudanum. He goes to a local bar where there's an African-American bartender there who reminds him of
his old love.
She looks exactly like her. I honestly, to tell you the truth, when they did the flash of both actresses at the same, I'm like,
they just pulled her hair back.
I'm like, is that the same person? Like, they look so similar. It was crazy.
Yeah, but Lee gets trick rolled in this.
Episode. This poor bastard. So he's in the back alley or whatever, right? She's like, hey, do you have time to?
Well, first he buys the laudanum
and he shows her too much money.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I have a wad. Can I have more?
And so she spikes his drink. And so after he drinks it, she's like, hey, do you want to
let's go in the back?
Get frisky.
She's like, don't be walking around. I'm protecting you. Don't walk around with all that money.
Yeah.
Sleep it off in the back. Also, we can fuck. And he immediately passes out.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, like she convinces him that, you know, you don't want to be on the street when this stuff kicks in. I'll take you out and back and entertain you. And while they're making out, he starts getting all woozy.
He's like, what did you do?
Yeah. And then he passes out. And the next morning, there's this guy pissing in the alley right next to him. Yeah. And he doesn't have any of his money. And so he's just like,
got a good night's sleep, though.
That's the worst way to wake up in the morning. In an alley with somebody pissing next to you. Ugh. God. Imagine the smell.
If I had a dollar
for every time that happened.
Every time you wake up in an alley with somebody pissing next to you, man.
It's like the backside of the strip.
Not even the backside of the strip. Just go down to the corner of Tropicana. It's right there.
But we had a big anti-immigrant rally being hosted by the mayor and the senator guy.
They took her jobs.
If only they just paid everybody the same wage.
And all the cops are sitting there and they're just like, these fucking politicians, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're totally not, like, they're not buying into any of it. And they're looking around all the people like hooting and hollering. And they're like, God dang it.
And Leary's standing in the doorway of the Banshee just looking like, fine. And Sophie's just like, I'm going to follow that wherever it may go.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah, like so Sophie and Leary kind of like start. So Leary discovers who Sophie's father is, and she starts like flirting with him, and she plays like this little Mozart tune on the piano.
Oh, she is flirting hard.
Yeah. She's being very forward, but Leary is kind of falling under her spell too.
What do you think the age difference is there?
Significant.
I was gonna say
he has children who would have been grown men.
Yeah.
And she's 17.
Well, they tended to have kids early back in those days. I'd say maybe a 10-year difference.
Okay,
I was gonna say 10 years.
Yeah. What, 37 and 27? She's not 27.
No. Listen, it's got to be 15 at least.
You got to cut your age in half and add 7. Then it's okay.
Isn't that from Parks and Rec?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think that's a Parks and Rec reference.
Well, it works. It's a beautiful system.
Okay. Fair enough.
We also get introduced to Nellie Davenport, who is the white savior woman who's going around liberating the brothels.
I don't get her. I get weird, creepy vibes off of her.
Well, she's actually based on a real person from the time period. And this is a way for Tropper to kind of introduce some internal conflict with Otoy, because basically this woman brings to light the fact that Otoy is exploiting these people.
My girl's happy.
Yeah. I don't understand why they just let her come in there. It's like, you know, kick her out of Chinatown.
Well, she's trying to not be like hypocritical, you know. Like she's saying that her girls are free to leave. Anytime.
Listen, man, if I own a whorehouse and there's some bitch coming in trying to take my girls away,
you're gonna be like, get out.
I'm like, get the fuck out.
You're a bad.
You're done. Get out of here.
But there's that great scene where this comes off of a raid where she led the police to kind of take down this like terrible Chinese brothel.
Oh, it was awful.
I was using like child prostitutes and stuff like that. Then she goes to Otoy's, and just as she's talking to Otoy, Chow comes out, and he's like,
"They have a really fun exchange."
Yeah, that was a good scene. Yeah.
You're to save world again.
Oh no, just your people, since you're too busy exploiting them.
Well, someone has to.
Save them or exploit them.
Yes.
But like it was a really cool exchange there. Mm-hmm. Like, Hoon Lee's character Chow,
he's so good.
He's been killing it in all four of these episodes that we watched.
Did we get his scene yet with the little girl?
That is in this episode where he visits. So like we know from season one that Chow has a thing for the white ladies.
Yeah,
and he got a white prostitute pregnant, and she had his child, and the prostitute are kind of like hidden away.
Mm-hmm.
But
Otoy knows his secret, as does Chow know Otoy's secret.
Well, Otoy knows the secret because the white lady was one of her prostitutes. And so basically Chow has been providing for them on the down low because he knows that if anyone knows that this white looking little girl is actually like Chinese, she'd be in danger. And so like he distanced himself from them purposefully to protect them. But because of Lee and Bill's raid, He's a little light on the money, and so like he's stressing out, and you realize that he's doing this for his family, and so like that's a big part of his motivation.
That scene where he gets to talk to the little girl is so cute. And she's so adorable.
It was really sad.
Was it sad?
Yeah.
Oh, I liked their back and forth when he's like, hey, you know, he knows it's her daughter. He doesn't want to say that.
She knows he's dad, too. Right?
Well,
and he's like,
kind of.
He's like, don't call me dad.
Yeah, don't call
me
dad.
That's what made me so sad.
I mean, it is sad, but it was really cute, though. It was like, here's the top. And he showed her how it works. And he's like, okay, go play. And then he's like, it kind of like peeled back another layer for Chow for me. And I really appreciated that. I love that scene. I thought it was really cool.
I think Chow's like the main character of the show.
He might be.
Well, Tropper loves Hoon Lee.
Who wouldn't?
Dude's awesome. Hoon Lee's like his De Niro. Like, he's just in everything he does. And he's fantastic in it. But the big part of this episode is that the Long Z discover that there are these smaller Tongs out there kind of dealing opium in their territory, and they discover one of these guys, and that leads them to like a mini tong called the Sui Sing Tong.
And the
Sui Sing Tong, Sui Sing. Yes. And and Long Z, not Long Z,
Li Yong
is basically like, hey, I know these guys, let me handle this. And Mai Ling's like, okay, but bring the fun guys with you. And so he goes and Zing, otherwise known as Genghis Cunt, basically
that is not his nickname.
It is his
nickname. They stayed in the show.
Shut up, Genghis Cunt. I'm like, wow. All right.
And so Genghis Cunt knows that these Sui Sing guys are lying to their faces about, like, you know, dealing opium. And so he just decides to murder all of them.
Dude, that was such a savage.
That was a savage
move.
Scene.
It was a bad. Yeah.
And at the end, like, Li Yong is like, "What the fuck?" And Zing's like, "Do you really think Mai Ling didn't send me here for this reason?"
Yeah, that was a slap in the face to him. For him to be like,
and that was when
did you not see this coming?
And that's when he starts going,
"Yeah,
yeah." I mean, he was going already, and then this one was like, "Oh God."
But. My life is I don't know apart. If you guys noticed this part. So Zing during this fight.
Oh, right, I noticed
like,
it.
So like he rips out a guy's throat, and then he throws it at another guy's face to blind him as he's charging at him.
Did you not see that?
I just saw the throat thing.
No, it was glorious. He like rips the dude's throat out, and then he sees this other guy running towards him at like an angle, and he just goes right in the face. And the guy goes, "Oh my God!"
Really?
I would do that too. Like,
yeah. Can I rip your throat out?
How do you rip the throat out?
Probably not that hard. It's soft tissue.
Look it up.
You gotta have an iron grip.
Yeah. He had like a fistful of throat, and he just like flung it at another dude during the fight.
He took the Swayze move to another level.
Get out of here. I told you to watch those hands.
Dude's probably like, do it harder.
Put your throat in my hand. I want to see how hard it is.
Choke yourself, soldier! From Full Metal Jacket. Oh my God. It was a brutal fight scene, though. That was one of the most brutal scenes in the show.
Put your throat in my hand. I want to see how soft it is.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I also
do your own.
I did. It's
gushy.
I also liked how Li Yong, like, as he's fighting, like, he just sees like all the slaughter, and at a certain point he's just like, fuck it, and he just
he has
bones.
To go along. Yeah. Like, you can't not. Yeah, everybody's trying to kill you. He got blindsided by it.
But we're starting to see like how like Li Yong's sense of honor is being challenged by like their current like situation that Mai Ling got them into. And, Li Yong in the first episode, like, he's in bed with Mai Ling, and they're kind of like talking about like what their next moves are going to be. And it just seems like this new situation is wearing on him, and it might actually like end up causing a split between.
Oh, it's
him
definitely
and Mai
going
Ling.
To. Like, I think he's either going to go his own way and he's going to leave Mai Ling and join somebody else, or maybe start his own thing, or he's going to try to take her out. And be like, I can't rule. Like, this is not going to work out for us. We got to switch things up.
Maybe him and Awesome will go start a new thing somewhere.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. Is there anything else that happens in this episode?
That's
not
about
really.
It.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode. Like we said before, we are on the track of getting ready for season 3. So we're going to be covering everything in season 2, 2 episodes at a time, weekly. And then season 3 drops on June 29th. So if you haven't started
Father
June 29th. If you're not watching the show, hop on HBO, check it out. It's a lot of fun. If you're here because you love this show and you're finally finding somebody to cover it, welcome. Thank you for joining us. We'll be here for the completion of the show, however long it takes. Season 4, 5, 6? How many seasons are we going to get?
I don't know.
Probably 3.
HBO's going to be like, do good enough downloads.
Yeah, we should point out that like the show was canceled, right? Like, after season 2, it was done. And then
there's been like, I think, 3 years in between season two and what's going to be season three.
Yeah, like when Tropper told us that they were doing another season of this, not only were we very excited for that, but we were like amazed because we were like, we thought that, you know, that was done.
It's been revived.
He's like, yeah, Cinemax came back with some money.
So there's there's hope for the Northmen. Or Norsemen.
Norsemen? Norsemen. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's Netflix, though. Netflix is a little different. All right, guys. Thanks for watching. It could. It could. We'll see you guys next week. We're going to be covering episodes 3 and 4. So we'll see you then. Stay salty.
That's for making me run.